Today, our gospel is taken from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Jesus tells a parable about his own second coming, emphasizing the need for readiness at all times. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel.
We invite the children to come forward for children's time. All the children. Okay, we got a nice big bunch here this morning. I thought this morning we'd like to start by playing ball. I know all of you can catch a ball, can't you? Okay, but there's just one rule. Everybody has to close their eyes real tight and no peeking. Close them. Everybody, close them real tight. Okay, open them. But nobody of you caught the ball. How come? How come? Yeah, you couldn't see it because your eyes were closed. Our eyes are kind of like our lights, and we have to have light to see. All right? The Bible tells us our eyes are the lamps of our body. Now, we have lots of electric lights in church and at home, and we have flashlights that we can turn on when we have to go look for something in the dark. But in Jesus' day, they didn't have lights like we do. They had little lamps, just like she read about in the lesson. They looked kind of like this. And they put oil in there, and then when they lit the oil, it burned and it made a little light so they could see. That was like their flashlight. That's the kind of lights they had. Okay. In our gospel today, you just heard her read about the story about the wedding, and it's in the Bible. Have you ever gone to a wedding? I bet everybody's gone to a wedding. You like to do that? Yeah. Okay. Back in the days, in the Bible days, weddings were a little different. The groom, the man, would go to the bride's house and the people, and they would have the wedding ceremony at the bride's house. And then when that was over, they would all go to the groom's house for the feast, for like a reception, like a big barbecue probably. And they didn't have cars, so they had to walk there. And sometimes it took a long time for everybody to get there. Well, like she said in the gospel lesson, there were 10 girls, and they had a little lamp like this, and they put some oil in it, and they were waiting at the groom's house for them to come. You can sit right there. So they had to wait and wait a long time. and they got tired, and they went to sleep, and they had to wait and wait. And finally they heard someone yelling way off, "Hey, the bridegroom is coming." And so they woke up, and they looked at their lamps, and the five of the girls were wise, and they brought some extra oil in a little jar, and they poured it in their lamps so they would have light. But the other five girls, they were foolish, and they didn't bring any oil. They didn't know that they were their lamps were going to go out before the party came. And so they told the girls that had brought extra oil, "Hey, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." And they said, "No, we need it for our lamps. You have to go and buy some other oil." And so while they were gone, guess what? The bride and the bridegroom came, and all the people, they came to the groom's house, and they went in, and then the door was shut. Well, when the girls came that had to go and buy more oil, the door was shut, and they were too late because they weren't ready. And so they couldn't go to the feast and celebrate. We are like these little lamps. Did you know that? Our bodies are like our lamps. And our eyes, our heart is the where the love of Jesus is in. And we need to study God's word. We need to learn to be kind, to love each other, to forgive other people even when they do bad things to us. We need to forgive them. That's like Jesus did. We need to obey and help each other and let Jesus' love shine in our hearts for all to see. Now, will you fold your hands and pray with me? Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I have a little something to help you remember about this story. I have a little light for you and a little card that shows that little lamp like the girls had way back then. And will you come up here and get a lamp, and then you can go sit down. And I thank you for coming.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to thank all the women who are participating in our service today. Thanks for their leadership, not only today, but also for what they do throughout the year. I know Sandra listed a number of things, gave a little bit of history of the women here in the church, and a number of the things that they continue to do now. I want to give them thanks as they offer their thanks in this thank offering service. God has blessed us with many things, and sometimes, though, it's easy to forget those things, the things that we do need to give thanks for. We lose sight of that too many times. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus says, "Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." What Jesus is talking about is the time when he will come again. But this statement here seems somewhat vague. It doesn't give us a whole clue of when he is coming back. And so sometimes we do forget that he's coming back. And in a sense, when we do forget that, then we lose our hope. We lose sight of who we are, and we lose sight of God in our lives. And when we get into those bad situations a lot of times, then we do remember and we cry out to God, "God help us, God save us." That shout of Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lord, is actually a cry for help. It's roughly translated as "Help us, God, save us at the time of need." And God does answer that. He did answer that. The best answer is as Christ lay dying on the cross, as he hung there, and he gave himself for all of us. And that is the hope that we have, that he died for us, rose again, and gave us the promise that he will be coming back, and that we will live with him in eternity. But we sometimes lose our hope. It dies sometimes. And this morning, I need you to kind of help me this morning and pretend that your hope is gone. Pretend that you are depressed. For many people in this world, that's too easy because they are depressed. Depression takes a great toll on the people of the world today. So many things get us down. But this morning, I want all of us to pretend like we are depressed, that nothing is going right, that everything is going wrong, that there is no hope, you see no future. What you have in this world is all that you're ever going to get. There once was a mother, and she was having a particularly bad day. Her husband was out of town. It was wet and cold outside, so the kids had to find something to do in the house, and they were just making all sorts of noise and racket and making a mess. The vacuum cleaner belt broke. The dog got into the kitchen garbage and scattered trash everywhere and then threw up in the living room carpet. And the car battery didn't work. It was dead. The only thing that she could think of to do to keep her sanity was call dial a prayer. And when she did, she got a busy signal. And when she finally got through, they put her on hold. We have days like that when everything just seems to crumble. But what if you had no hope? What if that is the best it ever got? What if you just lived on this earth and you died and that was it? There was nothing left. But again, the answer to that is that we do have a loving God. We do have a God that cares for us. A God that sent His Son into the world to bring us hope, to bring us life. God continues to be with us in all things, in everything that we do, each and every day. There's a philosophy that's called existentialism. In a brief way of describing that, existentialism says that the past doesn't matter anymore. It's already done. It's gone. So it doesn't matter anymore. The future really doesn't matter all that much either. It has potential, but that's still far off. What only matters is this moment in the here and now. And so what you need to do is live in your moment fully at the time. Each and every day, each and every moment, live it fully. And do what's best, or live it fully at that moment. In a sense, Paul was an existentialist. He, too, believed that you live in that moment fully. But what drove Paul was not that selfish need of needing to satisfy yourself in that moment and grabbing everything that you can for yourself. Rather, what drove Paul was that hope in Jesus Christ, that Christ would be returning. He believed that you need to live every moment fully. But it was so that he could proclaim that gospel of Jesus Christ, so that he could share that hope of Jesus Christ with all other people. And so he did fight the good fight. He ran the race to the finish. He continued to work each and every day, even though his life was not full of roses, even though he was arrested numerous times. He was beaten. He was thrown into prison. He was chained in the dark. He was outcast. He was hunted down. And even all these things that happened to him, even eventually he was executed for his faith. It did not get him down because he had the hope that what is in this life is not the end. That this is not the best that it gets. That the best is still yet to come. He had that hope. He held to it. He clung to it in everything that he did, and he lived every moment in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's for us too. We remember that hope, that even though our life starts to turn on us sometimes, we go through tragedies, we come into crises, everything seems to break down. We lose friends, we lose loved ones, we lose our job, we lose house, home, finances, whatever crashes. But that is not the best that it gets, because we have that hope that there is still good to come. However, we still live in this world, and bad things do happen to us, and we do get frustrated at times. There was a definition of frustration, or a story of frustration, was a woman who found a letter in her husband's coat pocket that she gave to him to mail 3 months ago. But she found the coat, but she remembered that coat. He had given it to her 3 months ago to sew a button on. That sense of frustration that we have from time to time, or maybe working on a project and you think that project out, you get your materials together, you get your tools together, and you work on that project and you're almost finished and you find out that project's not needed. It's worthless. And so all that trouble, all that effort that you've gone through, it's not worth it. It's worthless. The frustration that we feel. Or maybe the care that you give to someone you love, or maybe to a patient if you're in the medical profession, and you turn your heart out to them, and you do everything that you can, but yet they die anyway. That frustration that we go through in our lives. Or maybe you plant your spring garden, you plant it out, you till the earth, you fertilize it, you buy your seeds or your plants, and you put them in the ground, and everything's coming up, and you get a late freeze. It's worthless. It's worthless. And that's what our life seems like sometimes. Until we remember that hope. That hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That promise that God has given to us. That promise that God is with us. That God is present. And he continues to bless us. There's a story of a music teacher. He worked for a university. He wasn't one of the professors, but he was just simply a music teacher. He would help some of the students and maybe tutor them along at times. Well, that university sponsored a world-renowned pianist to give a concert at the university. And the night came and the auditorium was full because people had heard about who was coming to this concert. And the concert was beautiful. The pianist played through his works, his pieces. Towards the end, he was playing a particularly difficult piece, a very beautiful piece, but it was particularly difficult. And right in the middle of that performance, he became ill, and he couldn't finish. He couldn't complete that piece. Well, this music instructor, Herman was his name, stood up from the audience, walked up on stage, and sat down at the piano. And completed that very difficult piece just as beautifully as that concert pianist could do it. Later on, at a reception that followed afterwards, one of his students came up to Herman and asked, Herman, how are you able to play such a difficult piece with such precision and such beauty? And Herman said, in 1939, I was a budding concert pianist, but I was arrested and thrown into a Nazi concentration camp. And hope was bleak. Life looked bleak. Many of my friends, many of the people there in the barracks were taken out, and they never returned. I knew something was going on. My life looked very short. But I had to cling to something. I had to cling to some kind of hope. And so the only thing that I could think of is that one day I will get out of here. And when I do, I need to be able to play, continue playing that piano for my life. And so each night then, he would practice one of the pieces of music just on the headboard of his bed. He would run through the fingering of each piece. For 5 years, he continued to practice as he was in that concentration camp. And so Herman told the student then, it was because of all that practice and because of that hope that I had that I was able to play that piece tonight. We cling to that hope. We cling to that hope of Jesus Christ that he is coming back someday. We don't know the day or the hour. Jesus tells that parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the 5 foolish ones, the 5 wise ones. That the 5 were ready. They were prepared and they were able to enter into that feast, into that celebration, that wedding celebration. But those who were not ready, who were unprepared, had missed out. He ends that parable with his thought, keep awake therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For us, we need to stay ready. We need to stay prepared. We need to cling to that hope. And the best way to do that is to live each day with that hope of Jesus Christ, to live it fully in proclaiming the gospel in all that we do, to live every moment in prayer, in conversation with God, each and every day, at all times, to cling to that hope of Jesus Christ. We don't know the day or the hour. It's once been asked, if you know that at the end of tomorrow, it will be the end of time, that Christ will be coming back at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, would you live tomorrow differently than you live today? If the answer is yes, maybe you need to consider, what are you doing today? Well, how are you living your life? How would that change? How would it change your attitude in what you're doing, or your attitude in how you treat other people, or what you do for other people? Christ is coming back. We just don't know the time or the day, and we cling to that hope, knowing that Christ is going to come, that we will join the celebration, and that life will be better than we have ever known it. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.